Always nice to just experience the presence of the Lord. If you come prepared to give tithe and offerings, there's a giving box in the back. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, Lord, when we bring the first fruits in, then God will fill up your barns, cause abundance to come to your barns. You could just translate that bank accounts. So if we make God first and not last, God's going to take care of our needs. Amen? I appreciate all your prayers the last 3 weeks. I've kind of been struggling with the flu. I haven't had the flu in like 25 years. And I'm going for, let's say, another 25 years. Or maybe never. Let's go never on the flu again. Hallelujah. It wasn't fun. But I appreciate it. I knew a lot of you were praying for me. And I do appreciate that. I'm grateful for my staff that stepped in. You know, they each had about 24 hours to prepare those messages the last 2 weeks. Because I just didn't know what kind of shape I was going to be in. I realized, you know, like Friday night, Saturday morning, probably not going to make it. But I heard they did a great job. So thank you for that. I'm excited about next week, unless the Lord leads differently. I'm going to start a series on thinking biblically about money. You know, it's important that we think biblically. There's a lot of kind of thoughts out there about money. But if we think biblically, we can open up to God's blessings. If we don't think biblically, I believe we often hinder the blessings that God has for us. So it's important that we just get our minds in alignment with God's Word. What does God say about money? He has a lot to say about it, by the way. I think there's like 500 scriptures on prayer and over 2,000 on money and finances. So He knows that it's important. But today I'm going to finish this series on hearing God's voice. I was tempted to just move on. But I just thought, no, the devil's tried to stop me a couple weeks on this. So bless God, I'm going to finish this. I'm not 100%. I may spit and cough and I don't know what, but I'm getting through this. Praise God with His help. Hallelujah. It is important that we, by the way, in your bulletin, there's this little bookmark on how to pray for pastors. Diane put this together. And nice little bookmark. I think there's like 10 things to pray. And I've always believed the more prayer that you have for the pastors, the better pastors that you get. So, hey, it's all up to you. So take that home, put it in your bookmark or your Bible, and just when you think about it, pray for us. It is important that we learn to tune in to the voice of God and tune out all the other voices that bring confusion and distraction to us. Amen? I just believe the most important voice that we can hear in 2026 is the voice of God. Why is that? Because He has all the wisdom that we need for every problem that we have, every need that we have. He has all the power that we need to help us overcome and put us over in life, in every area of life. And so, man, we just need to learn how to hear and tune in to the voice of God. The good news is that Jesus promised that He was going to speak to us. Yeah. We don't have to twist His arm. God, I just wish You would speak to me. How come You never speak to me? He's speaking to us all the time. We just often don't tune in. We don't understand sometimes even how He's speaking to us. But He is speaking. Because in John 10, Jesus said His sheep follow the shepherd. Why? Because they know His voice. Do you know His voice yet? Have you learned to recognize His voice among all the other voices? There's a lot of voices out there, but we need to tune into His voice. Jesus said they're never going to follow a stranger. In fact, they're going to run away from a stranger because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. A couple weeks ago, Bobby shared a message on the voices that we need to run away from, the voices of the stranger. They sound like accusation and fear and shame and condemnation and confusion and discouragement. Those are all the voices of the enemy. Listen, God will never speak to you that way. Those are not the kind of words that you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit. They're the voices of the enemy. And we need to learn how to recognize them, reject them, take them captive and replace them with the truth of God's Word. Amen? But today we're going to focus on the ways that God does speak to us. We already covered three. And those are, number one, He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through the Bible. So listen, if you're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, you're missing out on a lot of what God has to say to you. Number two, He speaks through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of every born-again believer. So He's speaking spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Right? Sometimes He uses words. Sometimes He uses inner promptings or just little nudges. Anybody get those here? A little prompting to do something, go somewhere, do this, that, pray for somebody. Sometimes He will use your conscience to speak to you. And then He speaks through inner peace. When you're thinking about a direction or a decision, you either have a peace about that or you just have a lack of peace. That's the Holy Spirit using peace to guide you. So today, number four, He also speaks to us through wise counsel. How many know that God can strategically place people in your life and in your path that He will use to speak directly to you through that person? It could be pastors or other Christian leaders. It could be mature Christians. Listen to this. Sometimes He will actually use your spouse to speak to you. It's true. He's actually used my wife on numbers of occasions to speak to me. We just need to be humble enough to hear. He can speak to you through a sermon like this. You know, it's not uncommon for me to say things that I did not plan or prepare. It's not in my notes. And I just always feel like maybe God's just speaking to somebody or maybe a few people through that. And so we just need to be, listening. Now listen, if you're on your phone or you're talking to your friend or you're doing something else distracted, when God decides He's going to speak a message that I didn't even, not even in my notes to you, well, guess what? You're going to miss it. So that's probably not a word for anybody here. But just in case it is, or maybe that friend that comes in later, let them know. Stay focused, because listen, God may speak to you any moment. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:14, talking about hearing from God through counsel, wise counsel, says this: where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. A multitude of counselors. Don't just go to one counsel. Surround yourself with godly counsel, and each of them may have a piece of the pie of wisdom that you need for your situation. I like the Message version. It says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Chances of what? Having success in life. Amen? My dad used to say, I'm not going to live long enough to learn everything the hard way, so I got to learn through other people. Right? So we got to be humble enough to recognize that God's going to speak to us through other people. It may not be what we want to hear, but it's probably going to be what we need to hear. Amen? I worked at a newspaper for nearly 10 years, and the boss, he seriously needed some help in human relations, interpersonal relationship. He needed to take Dale Carnegie's course on how to win friends and influence people. Because he was a grumpy, angry, critical man. He always, it just seemed to me like he was always looking for opportunities to cut his employees down. And he always did it in front of other employees. And it was tough to deal with. And I took it for a few months, but I was a new Christian. I wasn't very sanctified back then. And so I developed a plan. I had a plan. My plan was the next time that he does that, I'm going to hit him right between the eyes and tell him what to do with his job and walk out. I mean, literally, that was my plan that I had formulated. Well, fortunately, I decided to share my plan with my dad. And he had a better plan. Imagine that. He had a better plan. And he gave me some very wise advice and insight. He said this: hurting people hurt others. And he said, you know, this gentleman, I don't know him, but he's probably feeling insecure and inferior, and he's probably been hurt somewhere in his life. And he said, people like that, they put others down to lift themselves up, make themselves feel good. He says, this is what I think you ought to do. I think you ought to, and I believe it was a word from God, by the way. I believe that you ought to look for opportunities to build him up, to affirm him, to compliment him, not brown nose him, but I'm talking about legitimate. Well, I mean, I didn't think that was the greatest plan in the world, but it was probably a little bit better than mine, and I didn't have anything to lose, and so I did. For the next several weeks, I just looked for opportunities to build this man up and to encourage him and to tell him what a good, and really he was a smart man. He was intelligent. He was very gifted. But probably nobody ever told him that because he was just such a jerk most of the time. But I just kind of waded through that and just continued to look for those opportunities. I'm telling you what, the change he had toward me was like night and day. After several weeks of doing that, he stopped criticizing me in public. He never did it again. I'd worked there almost 10 years. Now, he kept doing it with other people, but he never, never, ever did that again to me. I mean, it's just almost like he bent over backwards to help me. In fact, I won a national newspaper award, and they had the national banquet, awards banquet in San Antonio, and just me and him. He took me down, flew me down there, stayed in a really nice hotel, ate in nice restaurants, went to the banquet. We toured some of the sites in San Antonio at quite an expense to the newspaper, and I don't know why he did that other than somehow the words that I were speaking, affirming and building him up, were touching a deep need on the inside of him. And it just kind of revolutionized our relationship. Later, actually, I learned later that his dad was a state cop and real just a tough disciplinarian, never showed love, never told him he was doing a good job. He could never do enough to seem to earn his father's love. And so there was a deep hurt there. Hurting people hurt others. And when I began to legitimately affirm it, it touched the knee. And it reminded me, as I was thinking about this today, about a story I heard years ago of a lady with a black cat that she named Mother Cat because she had babies. And you know, cats, I don't really have a lot of use for cats. Just to be honest with you, some of you are probably cat lovers, but if I never saw a cat again in my life, oh my gosh. But this woman had a cat that was not like most cats. This cat was loving and endearing and just the kindest, most gentlest cat. I mean, this woman, it was a young lady, she would call the cat, and the cat would come run and jump on her lap and purr. And it was more like a dog than a cat, I think. And one morning, this young lady went out to pet the cat who was on the patio. She reached down and touched the cat, and the cat snarled and reached out and scratched her, which was totally out of character. And this young lady got mad, started yelling at the cat. And the cat finally limped away, and come to find out that she'd been hit by a car the night before and her hip was dislocated. And God spoke to this lady through this incident. And he said, you watch, young lady, you're going to see people who snarl and scratch, but understand they've been hurt. Look past the snarl and love the hurt. Isn't that good? Look past the snarl and love. If we just live that way, if we just live that way. So many times we respond, you know, in kind to people who are angry or upset at us, and we respond the same way, but we don't realize there's hurt on the inside. Look past the snarl and love the hurt. I've always been grateful that my dad gave me that counsel, and I had the grace to follow it. Now listen, wise counselors, they're not going to tell you what to do, or at least they shouldn't. But they can give you a perspective that you don't have. They can shed light on God's word that maybe you don't know yet. They can share wisdom that they've learned through experience, and many times through the school of hard knocks, through the hard way, right? Ultimately, you have to make your own decision. But when you listen and seek out wise counsel, it can inform your decisions, right? So that they can be more productive. You know, I've watched people over the years. I've been serving the Lord over 40 years. I've watched people make decisions. And I just shake my head as I watch disaster happen. And I just ask myself, why didn't they seek godly counsel? Why didn't they seek wise counsel before they made that decision? There's people that could have spoken into their lives and helped them avoid those situations, but they just didn't. There was a couple who asked a pastor if he would perform their wedding ceremony. He said, well, yeah, I will, but I always require several sessions of premarital counsel. And this is their response. Well, pastor, we don't need counseling. We've both been married several times before. I'm sure you can see the wisdom of that statement, right? The Bible says that where you get your counsel will greatly determine your direction and your success in life. You don't want to get it from your unsafe friends.
Right.
You don't want to get counsel from social media. No. Psalms 1 verse 1 says this, blessed, everybody say blessed.
Blessed
is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now the word blessed in the Hebrew is a big, big word that literally means happy, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God, and to be envied by others. I mean, that's, isn't that good? I mean, that's all in that word blessed. Let me say it again. Happy, fortunate, prosperous, favored by God. And so blessed that people watching your life and they're envying you and say, man, I want to be blessed like that guy. I mean, he's got a blessed marriage. He's blessed in all these different areas. And I don't know what's going on, but man, I want to be like that guy. And you can be so blessed that's how you live. And listen, this kind of blessing is available to everyone. God is not a respecter of persons. This blessing that Psalms 1:1 talks about is available to anybody and everybody. God promises a blessed life for anybody who tunes out the counsel of the world and tunes in to the counsel of God. You can live this kind of life. Let me talk to teenagers just for a moment. You know, teenagers, how many teens? Do we got any teens here today? Yeah, there's several. Look at that. So listen, one of the best things you can do for yourself is listen to the counsel of your parents.
Amen.
Godly parents. Or godly grandparents, or godly aunts and uncles, or maybe even spiritual fathers and mothers in the house. One of the best things that you could ever do. I understand when you reach that magical age of 14 and 15, suddenly you just begin to marvel at how stupid your parents are. I remember being there. I watched my kids go through that. You know, Mark Twain said when I was 14 years old, my dad was so stupid, my dad was so dumb, I couldn't hardly be around him. But when I got to the age of 21, I was amazed at how much he learned in just 7 years. Teenagers, I know it's tough trying to listen to your parents, but listen, they got a lot of wisdom. They got a lot of experience that you don't know, and they love you more than anybody else, and they want the very best for your life. And so listen, teenagers, do your best. I know it's going to be hard. Do your best to listen to the counsel of your parents. George Washington was only 11 years old when his father died. And for a time, he decided that he wanted to be the captain of a British Navy ship. However, his mother had some real serious misgivings about that. Just didn't really feel like that was the direction for him. And just counseled him not to go in that direction. And young Washington listened to the counsel of his mother. And you know the rest of the story. Became the commander of the Continental Army, one of the founding fathers of the nation, and the first president of the United States. How many think that he probably got some pretty good counsel? But he had to listen. He had to listen. Listen, the course of your life will be determined by the quality of your counsel. Number five, here's some other ways that God, I'm just lumping three of these together just for time's sake. God speaks through prophetic words and dreams and visions. You know, there's large segments of the church that have completely eliminated these as ways that God speaks to us today. And that's unfortunate. We need to be open to all the ways. If God decides He wants to speak to you through your dream, and you say, well, I don't even believe God speaks through dreams. Well, guess what? You're going to miss out on that particular message that God has for you. Well, I don't know if God speaks through prophetic words today. I don't know if God speaks through visions today. Well, if that's your stance, you're going to miss out on the ways that, some of the ways that God speaks to you, because it's all through the Bible. God speaks through dreams and visions and prophetic words. Amen. Acts 2. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he quotes the prophet Joel, and he says this: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Everybody say visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Everybody say dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. What days is he talking about? Well, the last days are every day since the day of Pentecost. Up until now, we are in those last days, and so we qualify to hear God through dreams and visions and prophetic words. Amen. It might seem unusual to you for God to speak that way, but it is not unusual in Scripture. You know, Pastor Cho, David Cho, was the pastor of the largest church in the world for many decades, and he used to say this all the time: dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. Dreams and visions are the language of the Holy Spirit. We need to tap into the language of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God spoke through dreams and visions to Abraham, Jacob, Samuel, Nathan, Ezekiel, and Daniel, just to name a few. In the New Testament, God spoke through dreams and visions to Joseph, Jesus' father, remember that? Peter, James, John, Stephen, the Apostle Paul, just to name a few. The word dream appears 87 times in the Old Testament, 8 times in the New. The word vision appears 86 times in the Old Testament, 17 times in the New Testament. And I realize, listen, not all dreams are from God. I think most of them, a lot of them anyway, are just the soul's way of processing the emotions and the day's events. But I believe I had one last night, actually, that there are dreams sometimes that have a divine message for us.
Yeah.
Right? And we need to ask God to help us discern which dreams those are. And then we need to ask God to give us the understanding and the interpretation, because many times, in fact, I'd say most of the time, your dreams are in symbolic language. It's not, if you're dreaming about a horse, it's not about a horse. It's about something else. Remember, Joseph, right? When he dreamed about, seven lean cows and seven fat cows. Well, it wasn't about cows. It was about famine. And 7 years of abundance, and you need to put away during those 7 years of abundance, because there's going to be 7 lean years of famine. And so, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to give us the interpretation and the understanding of these dreams. Visions are similar to dreams, but you just happen to be awake when you have them, right? There's two kinds of visions. There's open visions and closed visions. Open visions is where God allows you to physically look into the spiritual realm. It's like he pulls the veil back from the natural realm that we live in right here to the spiritual realm, which the Bible says is at hand. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not, the spiritual realm is not way up there. It's just another realm right here. There's probably angels in this room. My guess is. But we don't see them because they're living in another realm. But sometimes God pulls back the veil and allows us to see into that other realm. Just an example, 2 Kings chapter 6, Israel and Aram were at war. And every time the king of Aram made strategic war plans with his war cabinet, Elisha the prophet would prophetically pick up on those plans and then share them with the king of Israel and say, well, you don't want to be here at this time because they're planning to attack, or you don't want to go there. And he just kept foiling all the plans of this king of Aram. And this king got so frustrated, he thought somebody in his war cabinet was leaking information to the king of Israel, but nobody was. In fact, all of his soldiers gathered around and said, nobody's leaking information, king. What's happening, that even what you say in the privacy of your bedroom, Elisha the prophet is picking up on and sharing with the king. And so the king of Aram, he decided that he was going to capture Elisha. So he sends a whole company of soldiers down there. They surround the city of Dotham, I believe is where he was living, surrounded his house. And then his servant goes out one morning and he sees all these soldiers, and he says, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" And in 2 Kings 6:16, Elisha the prophet says, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Isn't that good news? No matter what the battle is, no matter what you're facing, there's more for us than against us. Tell somebody right now, there's more for you than against you. Now turn and tell somebody on the other side, there's more for you than against you. And then Elisha prayed this, "Lord, open the servant's eyes that he may see." There was nothing wrong with the servant's physical eyes, but Elisha was praying that his eyes would be able to see into the spiritual realm. So the servant had an open vision of actually what was literally happening in real time in the spiritual dimension. And this is what he saw. "The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." The end of the story, as you know, Elisha prayed that all these enemy soldiers would be blind. God struck them. They were blind. Elisha led them to the king of Israel. He prayed again that their eyes would be opened. Their eyes were opened. And the king of Israel said, "Elisha, what should we do? Shall we kill them all?" And the prophet said, "No, don't kill them. Feed them. And then send them home." And that's exactly what they did. And that was the last they heard of the king of Aram sending war parties into Israel. Open vision. Now there's closed visions where you don't necessarily see into the spiritual realm, but God drops pictures, he drops images, he drops like little movie reels into your mind. You see things. How many see things? Let me see your hand. Wow, look at that. A lot of people see things. Now, and that's not unusual because, listen, in the Old Testament, many of the prophets were called what?
Seers.
Why were they called seers? This is not a trick question. Because they saw things. God put pictures in their minds. They put little movie reels, images in their mind. I'm thinking about Ezekiel. He saw a wheel within a wheel. You know, what does that mean? Well, there's an interpretation of that. We're not going to get into that, but he saw things. And God has not discarded this method of dreams and visions, whether it's open visions, closed visions, of communicating with his people in this New Testament era. Just a word about prophetic words. Prophetic words are another way that God can speak to his people today. I believe New Testament prophecy, I'm just going to try to make it simple, it's just simply hearing an encouraging word for someone else. And you just give it to them in your natural voice. You don't have to be weird about it. You don't have to use King James English. You just hear an encouraging word for somebody and you give it to them. Or maybe it's for a small group, or maybe it could be at times for the entire congregation. That does happen. Prophecy is one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it's a legitimate way that God speaks to us. And in 1 Corinthians 14... God tells us what New Testament prophecy should look like. It's different than Old Testament prophecy. Man, those Old Testament prophets, I'm just glad I didn't live in that era. I'm glad I didn't have to deal with that. Man, they pointed their angry bony finger at you. Maybe they just rip you apart and judge you and I don't know, you know, all kinds of things. But that's not what happens in the New Testament. We live in a dispensation of grace. Somebody say amen to that. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 3, Paul tells us what New Testament prophecy, prophetic words should look like. "The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." Amen. These are the guidelines that God gives us if we're going to step out, and I believe just about anybody that wants to, in fact, that can operate in New Testament prophetic words. You can get an encouraging word for somebody else. In fact, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Bible encourages us actually to pursue these spiritual gifts. Why? So the body of Christ can be built up. So the body of Christ can be lifted up. How many ever come to church needing an encouraging word? Or needing a word to strengthen you? Or you just need some comfort? Well, God can... We got one. Hallelujah. God can put a word on your heart. Maybe you don't know what that person is going through, but God just drops a word on your heart. They walk in, they're highlighted. You know you're supposed to share that word to them, and you walk up and you just... You say, you know, I don't know if this is reveling or not, but it just seemed like, you know, this is what God's laying on my heart. I just don't go up and tell somebody, God spoke to me, and He gave me a word for you. Well, there's no wiggle room there in case you missed it, and there's sometimes you're going to miss it. Come on. There's times where we're going to miss it. Just go up and share. You know, I just feel that maybe God placed a word on my heart for you. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to put it in your hands. If it's relevant, if it ministers to you, great. If not, I'll let you judge that. And so you just share that word with them. And I think many times it'll be right on. It'll be something. It'll just be the thing that they need. And maybe they haven't even told anybody about what they're going through. Maybe they haven't shared with anybody the struggles of their heart. But God knows.
Yeah.
He knows what you're going through. And God wants to use us. Listen, I think God wants us to move into this a little bit more than we've been operating in it. God can use you. You can be a vessel. You can be a mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit when He just drops a word of encouragement, strength, and comfort.
Yes.
And you share it. You're just obedient. I know it's stepping over the chicken line. It's not comfortable to do that. But if we just create an atmosphere here where it's okay if we try and we fail and we learn through it and we try again, we may fail again, we learn through it, but then sooner or later we're going to be starting to tap into the actual voice of the Holy Spirit and really have a word of encouragement for somebody. And we got to make sure we're not giving dates, we're not giving direction, we're not giving judgment, we're not calling out sin. That's not New Testament prophetic. Chris Vallotton is a guy that's done a lot of pastors, done a lot of teaching on the prophetic. And he said the ministry of the prophetic is like mining for gold. When you mine for gold, you got to move a lot of dirt, but you're not looking for the dirt. You're going for the gold.
Amen.
And so, you know, you prophetically might pick up on some sin in somebody's life, but you're not looking for that. You're not looking to point that out. You're looking for the gold in their life. This is what he said. This is an actual quote. And I love this. He said, prophetic words address a person's potential and not necessarily their present condition. It sees their value and calls them into their identity as children of God. Isn't that good? That's better than you amen. And so that I'm just going to have to read it again. I mean, come on. Prophetic words addresses a person's potential. People walk in there, man, they look messed up. You ever seen a person just messed up? You know they're messed up. They're messed up, man. They're coming out of the world and they're messed up.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all we see. And we think, oh Lord, how are you ever going to fix that person? How are you ever going to deal with that person? Get into a place of health and wholeness. Because man, they are messed up. But when God drops a prophetic word, you're not looking at their present condition. You're looking at their potential. You're seeing their value and you're calling them into their identity as a child of God. Hallelujah. The loved. Beautiful, blood washed, righteous, holy child of God. Hallelujah. That is the power of a prophetic word. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's just be open to this. Let's just be open to all the ways that God wants to speak to us and minister to one another. And then finally, God can speak to us through circumstances. I call them open doors and closed doors. Revelation 3:8 says, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul said, a great door of effective work has opened for me. So listen, God can open doors in your life. God can close doors in your life. He can guide you through circumstances. He can open doors for a job. He can open doors for relationship. He can open doors for ministry. I mean, I look back and I just see over and over again, God opening doors for me. It wasn't, I wasn't knocking on the door sometimes. I wasn't pushing the door down. Sometimes I wasn't even knocking. But yet God just opened the door. And when I walked through, I realized, looking back, that it was God leading and guiding me. Now, of all the different ways that God speaks to us, I probably put less weight on God guiding me. I'm just talking about me personally, through circumstances. Why is that? Well, it's 1 John 4:4. It says that Satan is the god of this world. Understanding that, I understand that Satan can arrange circumstances in our life as well, right? So, I think he actually manipulates circumstances. So listen, it wasn't too long ago, I was talking to a young single gal, and she was saying that she believed that God was just calling her to not date for a while, just to let that go, and just spend time with him and seek him and let God heal her and let God minister to her, and at some future date, when she was ready and he was ready, and, you know, God would bring them together. But this was a season. I mean, singleness is a season. It's not a bad season. It's actually a good season.
Great season.
I mean, you were way too enthusiastic about that.
Only because if you let it.
You know, we can arrange that if you want. If you embrace that that season, then God will use that to prepare you for the person. That's what she said.
And it's a beautiful time of intimacy with the Lord.
Yes, it is.
That once you are with somebody, is now divided.
Right.
So that's all I'm saying.
She said. If you didn't hear that, she said it was a beautiful time of intimacy with the Lord.
To prepare you for
intimacy with your future mate. Right.
She did.
I'm probably going to need counseling and inner healing after this. But let's go back to the lady, the single gal, who felt like God was leading her to that season. And then suddenly there's this unsaved guy that just takes a liking after her and begins to, you know, reach out and compliment her and all this kind of stuff. He's looking for a date. How many think that that's, let me see a hand, that's either God opening the door or that's the enemy manipulating the circumstance? How many think it's God? None. Oh, one. Okay. How many think it might be the enemy manipulating the circumstances? Because God's already spoke to her by the Holy Spirit, who's living in her, and said, for a season, this is what I want for you, because I got something better for you. But then the enemy gets in there and manipulates those circumstances, right? Here's another way that you can know that possibly that's because he's an unsaved guy. That's probably not the Lord. Why? Because what does the scripture say about that? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Listen, God will never speak to you in any way, shape, or form that does not come into alignment with the written word of God. So you can always go back and test it. Amen? Well, I'm finished. Let's stand this morning. And listen, in this day and age, we need to hear God more than ever before. Amen? We need to hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm not smart enough to live life successfully without the guidance of the Holy Spirit in my life. Remember, I think it was the very first message I brought in this series. We looked at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And young Samuel, just a young boy, God spoke to him. And he was instructed to say this, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Isn't that so good? When we say that, we're saying, God, We're positioning ourselves saying, God, I need to hear your voice in this situation. Speak, Lord. You're seeking the voice of the Lord. You're seeking the counsel of the Lord. And then you position yourself. You tune your ears in. You incline your ears to the Lord. You give him all the focus that you possibly can. And say, God, I'm waiting for your voice. There's a lot of other voices coming at me, but you know, the number one voice I need to hear, God, is yours. I believe there's some people here today that you are in a circumstance, you are in a situation. You've done your best to try to fix it. And you're not really seeing any movement. The thing that you need more than anything else is to hear God speak. It might be a health situation. The psalmist said in Psalms 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. If you have a health situation, the thing you need is a word from God. It might be a marriage. It might be a relationship situation. It might be finances. You feel like there's some folks here that you need to hear a word from God. Would you just say this after me? Speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. Give the Lord a moment right now. Just create an altar in your own heart. And bring that situation, that circumstance that you don't have an answer for. Bring it to the Lord and say, God, I need help in this area of my marriage. I need help with my health. I need help in my finances. I need help with this decision that's coming up. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Tune your ear in just for a moment. Hallelujah, Lord, we love your name, Lord. We love your name, Lord. Holy Spirit's here. I just sense him filling this room. I believe he's speaking to some hearts today. Just be open for a moment. Sometimes we get in such a rush. Hallelujah. Lord, we open our voice to you, Lord. And we open our ears to you, Lord. And we open our heart to you, O God. Lord, I pray that you'd break through today. All through this congregation. I pray for breakthrough. That people will begin to hear the voice of God. People will begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a breakthrough. Where before it just seemed I can't hear, there's a blockage of some sort. We bind all of those blockages now in Jesus' name. Every distraction of the enemy, every hindrance of darkness. And Lord, I pray for breakthrough all over this place today. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him speak. Thank you, Lord. Just out of my own curiosity, how many here today feel like God has spoken to him in some way, shape, or form just in these moments? Several. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just... you got some?
Yeah. So I'm going to cross over the chicken line here. I didn't necessarily hear a word for myself, but I'm stepping out in the prophetic here. And what I did hear is the Holy Spirit, this is for some bodies, probably more than one, but you have felt like you've been in this state of hopelessness or struggle. And it's been kind of a, just a dark time for you, maybe. And and the Lord said February, and then he said, you know, March, and you've been in winter. It's been a winter season for you. And it's been a long time, perhaps, but the Lord said, spring is coming.
Amen.
Spring is coming. Spring is right around the corner. And for you not to lose hope, for you not to give up, but just to know it's just a season. It's a time. And this is a beautiful time, really, for you to seek the Lord. Lord, what would you want to do in me in this time of winter? Because spring is coming. The Lord says spring is coming. So whoever that's for, I just bless you with that. I bless you with that. And then I actually heard another one. In that, this has to do with a relationship or relationships. Again, I don't know who this is for. But you are compromising what God has called you to, in that the person that you are looking at isn't the person that God has for you. Because you have, perhaps you've been in this season of winter and you think it's gone on too long and you've been willing to compromise what shouldn't be compromised. And the Lord would say today, He's got better for you. He has better for you. And for you just to seek Him in what He wants you to do in this particular situation. And so I just bless whoever this is with that. We don't want to settle. God doesn't want you to settle. So Lord, I release these words out. And Lord, I pray that they would just land where they need to land. Minister, Holy Spirit, as you would minister. And we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We have a ministry team that's going to come up in front, be standing up here. If you need prayer for anything at all, come up and let them pray for you. Otherwise, let me just pray one more time and release you. Father, we just thank you that you have given us the ability to hear your voice. Thank you that you're constantly speaking to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless your people as they go today. Amen.